letting go is harder than starting something new. And then you had to, I had to step into the unknown. This is what plant medicine many times do. They give you a vision or an idea or an instruction for your future. I said, yes, I know this is a painful truth. I will take a break. I will take a sabbatical. And when I adapted that message, the pain was gone. So the plant medicine can work in magical ways. When you're in grief and you're in pain, you don't always have eye for the future. The moment I said that and I looked deeply into his eyes, something happened, like a chemistry. It was like we felt in love or something deeper. We can have sex, we can make love, but don't expect anything else from me. And you decide. If you meet your twin flame, then it's a huge mirror on your shadow side. You start the ceremonies when it's completely dark in the jungle. Everyone is having their own bath, and in the middle, there are the Shipibo shamans. This is what they call a bad trip. I thought I would be a guide, and now suddenly I was a participant. This struggle is part of you because it prepares you to have stronger wings to open up your cocoon and fly. If you don't follow up on the plan that is written for you, you will find frustration. And that is why I love plant medicine so much. It's like, okay, checking in with your heart again. Know the certainty. Okay, yes, I'm on the right place. I don't have to hesitate. I have what it takes. And when you have these big doses from the people from the tribes, which is insane, then it can be so strong and you receive so much love that your body cannot contain it anymore, so you have to throw up.
Welcome to the House of Oneness podcast, where we dig deep into the world of plant medicine to help you in your spiritual and personal growth. Our host of this podcast has traveled the world to learn from different shamans, maestros, and other spiritual leaders. She has many years of experience with plant medicine ceremonies. Here is your host, Maria Joanna.
Letting go is harder than starting something new. This is something I learned when I had to let go of everything that I've been building on, because like it's so emotional that you did your best, you put all your love, your care, your effort in something that you built, and it was very successful. But as I share in my previous podcast, when the foundation is not solid, it's not strong enough, you cannot build a house on it. And it's the same for that. Like this was then with building my dreams and for my company, for my ceremonies. But it can also be the same for your love relationships. If the basic foundation is not good, you cannot build a house on it. And there I was. I felt really on my own. And ayahuasca, like, it was my biggest passion, my biggest dream. And then I had to step into the unknown, really wondering what would come up for the future. But because it was so difficult for me, I couldn't really look into the future. And I also realized that I already had a sign that I had visions for the future. And this is what plant medicine many times do. They give you a vision or an idea or an instruction for your future. This can be in ayahuasca, in San Pedro, in Choco Bliss, in other plant medicine ceremonies, that the plants are guiding you. And sometimes it's very clear and sometimes it's cryptic. And in my case, I received a cryptic message, but with my feelings, I already knew a few months in advance, like, I will stop the ceremonies. That was when I was in Brazil, and in my previous podcast, I'm sharing that I was in Brazil, did a combo, that I learned to make the ayahuasca. And yeah, in those ceremonies, when I arrived, I started to have a lot of pain in my arm. It was my right arm. And they told me, like, you are so connected to the ayahuasca, to the world of plant medicine, It belongs to you. And when you would stop working with ayahuasca, working with the plant medicine, it is as if an author is losing her arm. And there I already had a message also that I had to write about the ayahuasca, which I'm now doing, so a lot later. But they showed me as if I was an author, that like one of my soul purposes is to write and to speak about ayahuasca and other plant medicines. So nowadays it's a lot about the shogunis. And I had so much pain, I could almost not move my arm. And that was symbolically, it was very clear. I had to feel the pain so deeply. I never had this. Until I could adopt the message and I said, yes, I know this is a painful truth. I will take a break. I will take a sabbatical. And when I adapted that message, the pain was gone. So the plant medicine can work in magical ways. And then in this moment, I knew I had to stop. And maybe you remember times that you had to stop your dreams. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you lost a loved one or a relationship. It takes time. And when you're in grief and you're in pain, you don't always have eye for the future. But the magical thing in life is, when you step into this unknown, there's always a plan for you. So you can have a plan with your mind, and a lot of people like to plan their life with ideas and planning and structure. If I learned one thing from the plant medicine, is like, life has a plan for you. So I love that quote, is life is what is happening while you are busy making other plans. In this case, I was not making plans, but I got an invitation to go to Peru, to go on a retreat there. But yeah, in a way, I didn't really have eye for it, because I was so like in grief and pain for saying goodbye to the past. But yeah, when you pay this price of letting go, life will give you a reward. And yeah, one day I was walking on the street, I will never forget how it was, and I saw an old friend, and he seemed to be in so much pain and bitterness, and he didn't believe in love anymore. And I thought, like, whoa, there was a big reflection for me, like, why are you so bitter? Like, he just had a breakup in his love life. And while listening to him, it's like, okay, because you have this breakup and you don't believe in love anymore, I start to feel my inner voice like, don't be like that. Like, I also realized I always see a bright future, no matter what is happening. I always see this bright future. This is installed in me, like I trust in life. And I would say, yes, the plant medicine, my inner voice, my soul, it gives me this guidance, like everything happens for a reason. And when you have to let go of the old, even when it's painful, it gives you the strength for the next chapter. It lets you grow, it makes you stronger. And I shared with him, yeah, maybe like I was also in pain, same like him, but then another area. And I said, yeah, maybe I wanna go to Peru to just take some time for myself. And he said, oh yeah, go to Peru and do that. He was motivating me. And yeah, I know him for a long time, so I thought, yeah, let's do that. Before I was leaving to Peru, I had a birthday party, and my house was full of friends. It was so nice, it was so beautiful. And then somehow unexpectedly, that friend that I saw on the street was also on my birthday party. And something magical in a way happened. There was a moment on this party, and many people already left. We were a small group, and I remembered exactly, I was sitting next to him on the couch, and I said, hey, why don't you go with me to Peru? Because I thought, he's also like, he has to heal something. Why don't you go with me? And the moment I said that, and I looked deeply into his eyes, something happened, like a chemistry. It was like we felt in love or something deeper. I saw who he really is, like as if you recognize each other's soul. And I believe when you have this deep soul connection that you know this always from the first start. And this was a little bit different, but on the other hand, he was always in a way special to me. And then I, at that moment, I also had been dating with him for a while, 4 years before, and that was exactly the same. He was on a birthday party, everyone left and he stayed. And this evening, the same thing happened. So everyone left and he stayed. And I knew like, yeah, that moment when we had this eye contact, something happened. But he was afraid of it. So he said, like, it was again like romantic, we kissed, and then he said, okay, like, he told me, I want to explain something. That moment that there was this chemistry, that we had this eye contact, don't see this as something more. Like, I can be here with you tonight, we can have sex, we can make love, but don't expect anything else from me, and you decide. But because I had a past with him, I thought, okay, it's fine. I go for this and I understand, because he even said, you will never hear from me again. I thought, okay, I will never hear from him again. That was something different, because he turned out to be a very important person for me in this path of the plant medicine. And the plants learned a lot about this soul connection, and it's actually that story like a twin flame. Maybe you've heard about it, maybe you experienced this. This is very intense. It's not always a pleasant experience. For me, I would say it has the most beautiful moments, but also like, God, because if you meet your twin flame, then it's a huge mirror on your shadow side, and that he was. But I will tell more about this later on. One thing also that changed in my plan of going to Peru is that I decided to take people with me. So I was not only going there for myself, but I also was organizing a retreat. The plan changed. And I had a group of Dutch people who were coming over to Peru, going to the retreat. But for me, it was also the first time to go to Peru at that moment. And the ayahuasca is a small world. So when I arrived in Peru, people recognized me like, hey, are you Maria Joana from YouTube? You speak about ayahuasca. It was nice. I had a nice, good journey. But I remember also when we arrived, and this is also in my vlogs on YouTube, I was traveling with a guy and he had this wrong luggage. He had only women clothes when he opened his suitcase. It was a bit chaotic, but also when I took this group of people with me to Peru, and this is something that you can learn from. Doing ayahuasca in Peru, it is the next step, I would say, because you go back to basic. We are used to have a lot of comfort. And I understand that if you do ayahuasca for the first time, you want to be in the place where it comes from, in the jungle, where the spirits are, where the ayahuasca is alive, where it's the root. I would not say that this is for everyone, because when I took this group to Peru, I loved it, but more than half of the group did not like it. They were complaining about the discomfort, and we even had showers, and many times you have to wash yourself in the river. You are in ceremony in the complete darkness. You cannot even see your hands in front of your eye. You have a little light with you, and there is a maloca. That's like a circle. This is the ceremony room. It's a big, round circle building. And you start the ceremonies when it's completely dark in the jungle. Everyone is having their own bath, and in the middle, there are the Shipibo shamans. So you have different type of shamans. You can also go to the tribes. Mostly you hear about the Yawanawa, Huni Queen, but there are more tribes who work with ayahuasca, and that's more the Brazilian style. It's more celebration, party. And the Peruvian style, I would say, is quite serious. And sometimes it's even the case that you are on your own, in your own hut. They give you a lot of ayahuasca that you have to drink, and you are really on your own in your hut, and somewhere on this field there is a shaman working with energy. In this case, the Chipibo shamans, they have this molokka. They're in the middle, everyone has their own bed. And right before I stepped into this first ceremony, and I was there as a guide, they said, you can lay down and be a participant. Like, oh, this is something different. I didn't prepare myself. And that's another thing. You always have to prepare yourself well before ceremony. I had this twice in my ayahuasca career, that I suddenly said, no, don't guide the ceremony, be a participant. But if you're guiding ceremonies, how I prepare myself is I tune into the group, I prepare myself as a guide, I do energetical world, and it's at least three days before ceremony that I start preparing myself on guiding the people. So for a shaman, for a ceremony leader, if you facilitate ceremonies, the preparation is not just an hour before ceremony, it starts days before, and also not only mentally but also your diet. It's so much more than just a ceremony. And there I learned again that when you step into a ceremony, your mindset is so important. So the first ceremony, it took such a long time. I had a fight with myself. I had a fight to surrender. And this is the hardest thing that you can do. When you step into a plant medicine ceremony and you reject, this is what they call a bad trip. So to me, a bad trip is your reaction on the medicine. So rejection. And a lot of people were resisting the medicine. Guess what? You will not win this fight because the plants are different, are stronger. The plants are stronger than your own will. And I've had seen this so many times, and I was aware, like, okay, I'm rejecting, I'm resisting something, but it's also because of my preparation. I thought I would be a guide, and now suddenly I was a participant. Okay. And it took hours. It took hours, and then suddenly I went to the toilet. And also, because I said in Peru the ceremonies are a bit more tough, you're so on your own, you cannot ask a guide, oh please, can you be there for me, can you hold my hand? No. Also the suffering, and it's beautiful actually, the suffering, if you go through it. And yeah, we in the Western world like to comfort people, but suffering on your own without support, it's so powerful. So I got some kind of support. When I went to the toilet in this complete dark with my little light, I left the molokka. I had to walk over like a bridge of wood with little candles on the side. It seems to be so romantic. And then suddenly a dog came to me, and this dog was as if it opened my heart, and boom, the medicine started to work. Like, I went to the toilet really fast, and then it's like, I have to go to my mat. And there the journey started. And what I learned from this, and what I've seen as a guide so many times, what you resist is actually love, is a greater potential, and next mission, it's always something positive. So we put a barrier between more love and us, or a barrier between where we are here now and our future, our bigger mission, more responsibility in your life. And we do this ourselves, but this is something you cannot really control. So I could also not control of giving up. I had to learn and see that I was resisting the next phase. So as I said, I had to let go of everything that I had. And here I saw, when you don't grieve, when you don't suffer, you're not always strong enough for the next phase. See it like a caterpillar who becomes a butterfly, and the butterfly is in a cocoon. I saw this in in a series, it's called Lost, and then in the nature they have those the cocoon, and there is a butterfly in the cocoon. And then one of the people on this island wants to open up the cocoon, and then his friend says, no, don't open up the cocoon, because the butterfly has to struggle and struggle and struggle until the butterfly opens the cocoon itself. If you would give help, his wings will not be strong enough in order to fly. And I also had to fly to the next phase in my life. So I had to struggle. And this was in my ceremony. I had to struggle. I had to have this resistance. I had to go through these phases. Even with my mind, I knew, like, why is this happening? I know I have to surrender. And this is also when you're struggling of letting go of the old, letting go of your comfort zone. This struggle is part of you because it prepares you to have stronger wings to open up your cocoon and fly, because you can fly. This is so symbolic, and this is what I learned. And to me, the dog came there. I was longing for some support, and has been so important. Then I opened my heart, and during this ceremony, it was this ceremony where I had an operation in my heart. And this is quite common in a ceremony, that you got an operation and they took out my heart and they replaced it for a new one. And they said, you're ready for the next level. You got a greater mission. And yeah, with this new heart, you will have more responsibility, but you're ready for it. From that moment on, I learned more from the shamanism. So I started with the Santo Daime church, with the ayahuasca there, with the Daime, with learning the religion setting, with a lot of rules, but all for a reason. Then I went to the therapeutical setting. I went back to Santo Daime a little bit to learn more, and that was so fantastic. And here I started to enter the world of shamanism, starting with the Shipibo tribe, starting to learn how they use the ayahuasca, and that was really next level. And until this moment, I had been working with ayahuasca for 4 years, and I never was the ceremony leader. I was always assisting, and organizing. And because I was organizing every week, every Friday, every Saturday, I was organizing ceremonies. I learned so much, not only from ceremony itself, from how do people step into the ceremony and how is the implementation of the ceremonies. So of course from my own process, but I learned so much from helping others. And yes, the implementation is the most important, and this is your homework. So the ceremonies are the training, like the education, and then maybe you have your driving lessons, but then you have to drive the car. Then you have to implement it. There it's all about. And I would say those plants, they install this new program in your system that, to me, there's no other choice of following up. And I see it like this. So there is a plan that is written for you, and everything happens for a reason. And if you don't follow up on the plan that is written for you, you will find frustration. And we as human beings, we have such a limited vision, so we all have times of hesitation, and hesitation can also bring you off your path. When you can lose time, you can lose energy, and it costs a lot of energy to hesitate. And that is why I love plant medicine so much. It's like, okay, checking in with your heart again, know the certainty. Okay, yes, I'm on the right place. I don't have to hesitate. I have what it takes. And I tell myself sometimes, so it is as if we are in a movie. This is where we play our roles, and life has this role for you in plan. And now the ayahuasca told me, they didn't say exactly what the future will bring, but they said, with this new heart that we just installed in your body, you are ready for the next phase. And actually what I learned before, and I shared before in this podcast, is that trust that you have what it takes for the next chapter, and that everything is already installed. So as if there is a navigation, your intuition is connected with the source, and the road and the destiny is already there. So it's written in the stars. In the book of the alchemists, they say maktub, it's written in the stars. I love that. And that is also helping me not to stress that much. And of course, like as a human being, you think like, okay, but how will I make money in the future? What will I do? And also I want to contribute. I want to give my gift, share my gift with the world. But there are times in your life, and here I was in my sabbatical, that you need time for education. So during this ceremony and all the ceremonies that was in this retreat and this whole trip in Peru, it was all about learning about plant medicine and talking about having a plant. I wanted to see the Machu Picchu. I wanted to see the Tikitaka Lake. I wanted to see all the mountains in Peru. I had so many ideas and visions that I wanted to do in Peru. No, life had another plan, and it was all about education. Education about plant medicine. Also, I learned more about the rapé, what they call it in Brazil. And this is another plant medicine. And maybe when you see this this video, I already have this on my website, because I have a lot of rapé from Brazil in store. And this is a beautiful medicine. It's made from tobacco. And tobacco is used in different ways. You can use the tobacco to smoke, but it's the mapacho. So the holy name for the tobacco, for the holy tobacco, is mapacho. And mapacho, as I said, you can smoke this. And I learned to smoke it like this, because here you can block it, or they smoke it more like this. And then you can have a cigar. You can have this small, very strong rolled up cigarettes, and it's so crazy strong. And I'm not a smoker, but what I learned in Peru is when you choose to smoke the mapacho, don't smoke it over your lungs. And if you do so, because I did try that, it's so heavy, it's gonna be like because sometimes the plants are telling you to do smoke over your lungs. I've had it a few times, and this plant is so fantastic, and I feel such a connection to this mapacho plant. And it's called the grandfather spirit. And I like to explain more, like, how can you use the mapacho? Because yes, smoking, but there are more ways, and it's so, so powerful. So when you smoke this, they say don't smoke this over your lungs, because it's an amazing spirit, an amazing healing and protective energy. But when you put it over your lungs, because it's so powerful, it can take power over you, and you can be addicted to tobacco. And we in the West have a lot of addiction to tobacco. It's not a holy tobacco anymore. There's a lot of chemicals in it, and it's not a clear, pure spirit anymore. But in the jungle, the mapacho is a clear, pure spirit. In Peru, they use it as a drinking way and a smoking way. In Colombia, they also use it to put it in their nose in another way. That's the only one that I didn't do. And then you have the rapé that I love. And I learned a lot about this also in Peru, in Brazil, but now more in Peru. And its originus is from Brazil, the rapé. Now I want to finish more about the smoking first. So if you smoke this, and then I'm talking not about the cigars, but the cigarettes. The cigarettes with the mapacho, they roll it up. It's like the white paper and the dark brown mapacho. It's dried, and then you smoke it. You can also smoke it in the pipe, but now I'm talking about this. You smoke this, and then you have a very dense smoke. And this dense smoke, you just do, and then you don't even have to blow it. It's just like, and this smoke, you can put it in your aura field, and it brings all protection, and it clears your aura field. This is what I do in Peru before you step into a ceremony, but also afterwards to close it and to protect you. Another way of using the mapacho is drinking it. And this is so strong. I don't like doing it, but I've done it more times, and it's so, so powerful. And also, especially when you do have an addiction to smoking, like the Western smoking or whatever tobacco smoking, if you drink this, the spirit of the grandfather, from the Mapacho, goes into your system. It's very heavy on your stomach, I guess you can imagine, because you cook this and you just drink a little bit, different ways how to do it, but I did it most of the times, like you drink it a little bit, as if you drink an ashtray, but then stronger, and you feel it going down, and it's so heavy. And then it comes to your stomach. And then you drink a lot of lukewarm water. You drink it, and you drink it, and you drink it. You keep on drinking until you think, I cannot drink anymore. And you drink more, you drink more, and then, like, you start to become so sick, like so sick, as if you have a fever, and you're shaking, and goosebumps, and whoa, because it cleans your body, your mind, and your soul, and you clean it from such a deep level, and then you have to throw up, and you let it all out. It's so powerful. So as I said, if you smoke and you do one session of this, my father did it, and he smoked his whole life. I could say, like, when he was 12 years old, he smoked his first cigarette. 65 years old, he did this session, and he doesn't smoke anymore ever since. To me, I did it a few times, also in the Netherlands, with different shamans, and I've seen beautiful stuff. The most beautiful thing that I saw is that a guy from Norway, I have this also somewhere on my YouTube channel, a guy from Norway came to the retreat. He was so depressed because he lost his father. And because he was so depressed, he lost his, he lost the stroke of life, I guess you call it like that, or the lust for life. He was depressed. And while he drank the Mapacho in this session, the shaman was like, like with an instrument that, like, he started to shake with this sound, and like stronger, and it's to shake up and to wake up the medicine and the spirit, like shaking and like making the sound, and harder and harder, like, and with every vibration this instrument is connecting with the spirit, and he felt in his whole system the shaking. So the medicine was waking up, and then suddenly, when he threw up, he thought, when he looked, like, I think my glasses are dirty. What happened is that when he took off his glasses, his vision was clear. So this Mapacho purge, the tobacco purge, helped him to not need his glasses anymore. It was really funny. And after the retreat, he drove with me to Amsterdam. This was in the Netherlands, this ceremony that I speak about. He drove with me in the car from where we had a retreat to Amsterdam. I brought him to his hotel in the center of Amsterdam. And then he forgot his glasses in the retreat center. So yeah, that was very symbolic that he got more clear vision, and that is so powerful. I've seen a lot of things, and from my own experience, it heals it, it takes away trauma, it takes out emotions, because emotions are all installed in our bodies, and it comes out, and after that you feel so chill or very powerful. Same as with combo that I talk about in my previous podcast. And actually, to me, this is more powerful, but this is more, I connect very well with the spirit. And how you can also use this Mapacho is, so smoking, drinking, and then for a rapé. Rapé is from Brazil, and this is where they grind it, the Mapacho, to an ash. Like ash, I don't know exactly how you pronounce this, together with other herbs. So you have a lot of varieties, you have a lot of different types of the rapé, and it's made in a ceremonial setting. They sing for the plants, it's a holy ritual to prepare this. And the grandfather spirit, because that's what it is, it connects all the plant medicines, all the spirits together. And this is what a grandfather has as a quality. It connects the family, And also in the spiritual world, it connects the family of the plant medicine. And you can do prayers with it, you can put intentions in it, and they say, because it's connecting all of the plant medicine, it is reading your whole system, and every prayer and every intention that you put into this mapacho, it stays in the memory forever. A grandfather remembers everything and knows everything. And I love the repay so much, because what it does, and this is what is amazing for a lot of Western people, it stills your mind. It just gives so much peace. No thoughts, you go out of your head into your heart in just one blow, in just a very short time, and it sticks. Yeah, you stay there somewhere between 5 and, yeah, like around 5 minutes. Can be shorter, can be longer. And if you have really these tribal people, they can give such a huge amount of repay. I've experienced that too. That it is like so strong that you can have a very long experience. And this medicine is all about receiving. Receiving love, receiving relaxation, stealing your mind, calming your body, your mind, and just love. Love and relaxation. And when you have these big doses from the people from the tribes, which is insane, then it can be so strong and you receive so much love, so much love, so much love, that your body cannot contain it anymore, so you have to throw up. So it's not common to throw up of this, but high doses, it's definitely possible. I've had it a few times, and I never throw up from the ayahuasca, but to me, this is the medicine that makes me vomit sometimes. And also my body already reacts on it when I have just the intention to take it. I'm very sensitive for this one. I'm very connected to this spirit and I love it. So you can check also my website, houseofwonders.com, if you want to know more about the repay, if you may be interested in ordering it, in using it yourself, because you can do this before you step into, for example, a shoku bliss ceremony. But you can also do this as a ritual at home when you're when you're a thinker, when you are all the time living from your head. You can have this kurupe that you blow it into your own nose. So mostly it's an intimate ceremony that you do with the two of you, and like I blow into your nose, you blow into my nose, for example. But you can do it also as a personal medicine. For example, you take 1 week or you take another period of time and you do this with yourself when you feel like it. There's no rules for it, only I have to say there is nicotine in it. You will not be addicted so fast, but I just want you to know. You blow this into your own nose, like left and right, and then you just have this moment of relaxation for a short time to meditate on it and, for example, start your day or end your day with this. So it's a beautiful medicine to also add to your life. I remember that year I was actually in love with that person that I spoke about in my previous podcast. But I could not do anything different than following my passion, my number one passion, and putting myself on the first plate. And there was a certain point that the plant started to invite me to be a ceremony leader myself. What I experienced there for the very first time is that the medicine was not working. It's a great lesson to not get what you want, but you will get what you need. That was a place where I did the ceremonies for the very first time as a ceremony leader. That was for me the number one game changer. We didn't really dare to drink ourselves. We thought like when the first people are in their journeys, then we start drinking. I don't dare to say how many times. And the moment we, like my friend and I, as the ceremony leaders, as the guides, the moment we started to drink, that is where the whole ceremony started. It was so fantastic to put in practice what I learned from the plants and to give my gifts and to change people's lives on my own responsibility, to drive the ceremony, to put the energy there, to work with the spirits and to get the feedback from the people. how they enjoyed the ceremony, how they got the best insights, healing, transformations, and this to me is always the best. The next day, but also right after ceremony, when everyone gets out of their journey and so much love, so much connection, so much gratitude, and that is how life actually should be.
Thanks for listening. Check out our website, houseofoneness.com, for more information about plant medicine, microdosing, and ceremonies. Or find Maria Joanna at Instagram. Check back weekly for new episodes. Until next time, keep following that inner voice.